Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Barrett Salee joining us here from CBS Sports, covering all things college football and the SEC. And Barrett, first of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, man. Always a pleasure to talk to you. But number two, how surprised are you that we are sitting here talking about a Tennessee Volunteer program with, what, five consecutive wins and a chance to go to 7-5, maybe get to the Outback Bowl? I mean, just how surprised are you that we're even here at this point with this team?
Well, first, happy Thanksgiving to you guys as well. Yeah, I mean, I'm floored. I mean, it is remarkable to think that a team that lost to a pretty good Georgia State team, although, you know, Tennessee did get whipped at the line of scrimmage, which is inexcusable, and then, you know, to have that BYU game go the way it did, and to now be sitting here thinking 7-5 is not only a possibility, but at this point an extreme probability. I put this on Twitter, and, you know, the internet got mad. Take Ed Orgeron out of the equation. You can make a case. I'm not saying that I would, but you could, that Jeremy Pruitt is SEC Coach of the Year for what he's done, because that Tennessee team could easily be Arkansas right now, and it's not. And I think that's a huge credit to that staff, a credit to the leaders on that team like Juwan Jennings and Daniel Petulli. And yeah, I mean, they figured it out. The defense looks phenomenal. Garantano apparently got the message over the last month. It's been remarkable. And I think if you're a Tennessee fan, look, it's not the way you wanted it, but it's the way it is. And I think, the end result should be the same result you wanted preseason. Hope that the team's going to be competing for division titles in the next couple of years. Because after what's gone on, I mean, I don't see how you can't come to that conclusion. It's still going to take a little while, but the fact that Jeremy Pruitt in his second year as a head coach went through all of this and came out the other side looking the way this program looks tells me that, you know, it's a hard job to be a head coach in college football. And for a second year coach to orchestrate this, that matters a lot.
We're talking with Barrett Salee, CBS Sports. Now, Barrett, we thought that after the Tua injury and where the where they ranked Alabama, that they were, their shot of them getting into the playoffs was very slim. They're still in there, but at 12-1 with the teams above them and what they were doing out in the Pac-12, it was going to be a little bit harder for them to get in. Lo and behold, Oregon loses. We still got Utah, but what do you think the probabilities now of Alabama sneaking into the playoffs?
Well, here's the thing is that, yes, I think, you know, having a domino fall is obviously huge. But to me, of all the dominoes that Alabama needed to fall, that was actually the wrong one. Mm-hmm. Because if Alabama's going to get in, the best scenario and certainly the most likely scenario would be that a one-loss Pac-12 Oregon champ was in the argument with Alabama after beating Auburn, and those being the only two options, because then Alabama could easily play the card of, you know, common opponent beating Auburn on the road with a backup quarterback. They could use that to their advantage. Now with Oregon losing, you know, that's two losses, and Alabama would certainly win that argument now. If that's the case, but that's not going to be the case. That situation, you know, a two-loss Oregon, conference champion, I think is far less likely, because clearly they have flaws, and Utah being Utah is what they are. And then, you know, Alabama at that point would be in the discussion potentially with somebody else that would have a much stronger case. What Alabama really needed was an exclusive one-loss Pac-12 conference champion, Oregon, to get in. That was the most likely scenario. Now that's not going to happen, but it would be better to me anyway, if more likely if that Utah wins that game, and Alabama's not winning a discussion with Utah.
No, but if Oregon beats them, then they're in great shape. So we'll see what happens. Barrett Salee joining us here. Georgia Bulldogs, defensively, I don't think people will realize statistically how good this team is. I think they've allowed 19 total trips into the red zone. They've given up like a rushing touchdown all season. They are leading the SEC in every major defensive statistical category. The offense certainly doesn't look like a team that's going to score 48 points on Ohio State or LSU or whatever. But if they can create low-scoring games against LSU in the SEC championship game, after watching what they did to A&M, I think this Georgia team is pretty damn salty. What do you make of their showing so far, and do they have enough offense, or is the defense good enough to beat LSU?
Well, with the offense, I always thought that that there was more in the tank that they just chose not to show. But 11 games into the season, you can't just assume that at this point. So I think Georgia is what it is, and I hate using that phrase, but they're a team that wants to play conservative, and they're a team that if they start making mistakes, they're a little bit more exaggerated and a little bit more costly because, like we saw against South Carolina, Georgia dominated that game in every facet of that game except the four turnovers, and it cost them to a point where they were scrambling just to get back into it. You know, a team like LSU, yeah, that hurt. That would have certainly been a problem, and it certainly would have put them in a hole, but they'd be far more likely to climb out of that hole. Georgia just couldn't do it. So I think that's the problem, is that when you make a couple of mistakes for Georgia, the margin for error is a lot thinner than it is for other schools. So, but that said, I mean, look at what LSU did. I know statistically, you know, they put up a bunch of yards against Auburn. A lot of those were empty yards, and I don't think anybody who watched that game came away with any opinion other than, dang, Auburn's defense is legit and slowed down that LSU offense as much as it possibly could. It just couldn't get offense. So, you know, I think Georgia is certainly capable of replicating that, especially considering they've got the personnel from a secondary perspective to play one of those, you know, 3-1-7 style defenses that Auburn used so successfully. So, Georgia's defense will keep them in that game, and it will not be, you know, an ultra-high scoring game. It's just a matter of, does Georgia make those same mistakes, or at least a couple of those mistakes that it made against South Carolina to put them in a hole, or do they play a clean game? Because, you know, we've seen this year that, you know, DeAndre Swift, even though he doesn't have the numbers, he's won football games for Georgia. The Notre Dame game, for two series, all he did was go nuts, and that was all they needed. Same thing happened against Texas A&M. Same thing happened against Auburn. And you look at what LSU was, and what, you know, kind of hurt them against Alabama. It was Najee Harris in the third quarter. So yeah, I think they have the firepower, but the problem is the margin for error is so thin because of the way they play offense. And at this point, it's just, I think, irresponsible to assume that suddenly they're gonna find it because they've been holding it back or something like that.
Now, Barrett, with one game left in college football, basically in the regular season, then obviously we got the championship games. Right now, where you sit, the top four teams, LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, do you think this will ultimately be the playoffs? I know if Ohio State lose to Michigan but comes back and win the Big Ten championship, I think they're still in. Sure. LSU is in, I think, unless they fall apart the next two games. Clemson, I don't think anybody can beat them moving forward, at least their championship game. Do you think that as long as Georgia wins the SEC championship game, it stays the four teams that it is now?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think that if there was a team that would be on the brink, it would be LSU, which is crazy to think that they could, you know, lose a conference championship game and be out. We haven't seen that scenario or how the committee would handle that scenario yet in this era. So, you know, a lot of it, I think, would depend on Utah. Mm-hmm. Because Utah is a really good football team. I mean, they are really good. And so, you know, what does their end result, their resume look like? Because suddenly the committee seems to like USC. If USC, you know, wins, or if USC, you know, is bumped up despite the regular season being over, then you know, how good of a loss is that for Utah? Because it might look a whole lot better, you know, than people realize. And on top of that, what does Texas do for LSU? Because, you know, I think we're kind of stuck in this rut now where we all just sort of think that LSU's got this great resume. Well, not really. I mean, they lost to a Texas team that has the same record as Illinois, Kentucky, and Tennessee. So, you know, this idea that they've suddenly got this, you know, that they've got this insurmountable resume and body of work to fall back on, it's not really reality, especially if Auburn loses to a backup quarterback in Alabama that, you know, torches them. Okay, so that's a four-loss Auburn team. So I think it would still depend on Utah. I think it still would also depend on Oklahoma. Oklahoma's played some really good defense for the last six quarters. If that continues, I think that'll fit well with the committee to say, all right, look, you know, their problem, they fixed it, and they fixed it at the right time. So, you know, LSU would be on the brink. My gut is that they would still get in, but I don't think it would be a shoe-in, and a lot of it would depend on what Utah does the final two games, what Oklahoma does the final two games, and how dominoes around college football, you know, move USC potentially up, even though USC is not playing any more games.
It's really funny, Barrett. I think not only could LSU lose that game to Georgia, but also Ohio State could lose to Michigan. And I think they both get in because as one-loss teams, they still would have better resumes than all the other one-loss teams. So, I mean, I feel comfortable about LSU. I think Ohio State could lose to Michigan this weekend. Now, could they lose to Minnesota?
Braden,
probably not.
Like Braden Gall, Michigan apologist. Let's give you the right title.
Wait a second. Michigan is 9-2, dude. Like, they're a good football team. I don't know what planet you're on. I'm just suggesting Ohio State has earned the right.
Hold on. Me and you have gotten into heated discussions about how you think Jim Harbaugh
is a good football coach. No, he's a good no, dude. Come on, don't miss. Hey, I can shut you off and cut you off anytime. It's my radio show, all right, Barrett. But here's the deal. I think he's a good football coach, a very good football coach. I don't think he's elite. They're 9-2, but this is not about Michigan. This was a question about Ohio State, Barrett. The question was about Ohio State, and if they go on the road and lose a close game to a top 15 ranked team, that's still a better resume than what anyone else has built it, including Georgia, even potentially. So I actually think Ohio State and LSU are almost locks at this point, regardless of what takes place the rest of the year.
No, I think if in that situation, if that were to play out, let's just say LSU loses the SEC championship game and Ohio State loses to Michigan and beats Minnesota or Wisconsin, whatever. I think Ohio State's in a better position at that point because they would have a conference championship game to show off, which you know, I don't think should be a factor, but it is, obviously. And then, you know, Georgia beating LSU, that's obviously, you know, a better loss, but not that much better, right?
Right.
I'd agree with you. I think Ohio State would get the benefit of the doubt over LSU, again, especially if Texas ends up, you know, being a 6-6 football team, because then I think the committee would have to realize that Texas is not very good and that LSU win is I'd be fascinated to see if they value conference championships, which LSU would not have, over eye tests, because LSU would pass the eye test more than Utah or Oklahoma. But I don't know if the committee would think it passed it that much, because people don't realize how much Utah has just been destroying folks lately. And yeah, I know it's the Pac-12, but my God, that team's good.
They are, and I agree with you, but how many – they have zero combined top 25 wins. Oklahoma's got like one. I just don't think that the resumes are – I think the eye test you're accurate about, and they wouldn't have the conference title, but I think the resume would be heavily in LSU's favor. They've got wins over top 15 teams, and Utah and Oklahoma don't. So I think they're in good shape.
Right, Braden, but then Auburn would not be a top 15 team at that point because Auburn's going to lose to Alabama.
That's fair, although it still would be a better win than anything Utah's got at that point. So
I don't know. Would it be better than Oregon? Because even though Auburn beat Oregon, Oregon would have three losses.
No, you're right.
Four.
You're right. This is why we don't need expansion. Thank you, Barrett.
I know. I love it, right? We get to yell at each other. You still think Michigan's good, which is
Listen, I know that I can have Barrett on, and I can say, listen, should we expand the playoff? And then I know we'll just agree. I know that Barrett's on team 14.
No expansion.
He's on team no expansion with us, Derek.
You know
so.
Yes. Hey, but you know what we should push for first? we're going to have a long discussion on SiriusXM about this the entire offseason. I am going to make a stand. My platform for presidential election in 2020 is Team No Divisions.
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. In fact, I think it should be 1-2 in every conference in conference championship games. I totally agree.
Hey, I got a question. Would you guys vote for me for president if my entire campaign platform is Team No Divisions, lasers on football to spot footballs, and goal line cameras down each goal line on both sides in every stadium?
Yes, mm-hmm. But one more. You need to get rid of standard time. It needs to be always daylight savings time.
Well, if we're talking time zones, split right down the middle, two time zones across the entire country.
That's something to think about. Also, can you get rid of one of the Dakotas and just make them one Dakota? Can we do that, too?
Yeah. Well, but see, then you lose the symmetry of 50 states.
No. We'll give D.C.
Then you'd have to change the flag.
No. D.C. D.C. has more people than both Dakotas combined. They need some senators, okay?
Okay.
The District of Columbia needs some senators. Dakota doesn't need four. All right.
Or better, we can just annex the panhandle of Florida into South Georgia because it's pretty much that anyway.
Or Alabama.
There you go.
All right, man. Thank you so much, Barry. We appreciate it.
The world's problems.
Yes, exactly. We'll solve some more problems with the world. Stick to sports when we come back.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.